the tabernacle. Weather's bad. We've got a good dry place to get in, and so we'll try to use some sense about that. But break out your overalls next week, and we're just going to have an old-fashioned day, old-fashioned singing, preaching. The servers will be with us. Great bluegrass gospel, and they're a blessing. Brother Kelly, I appreciate the lives of those men. Then we're going to have dinner on the ground. Amen. And a 10-minute rule is in effect next Sunday. Amen. If you drop it, you got 10 minutes or this crowd to eat it. Somebody say amen. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. If you're glad you're at church on a Sunday, say amen. Amen. The Bible said in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16, one of my favorite passages, the Bible simply said, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher, the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And he said unto them, 'Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him.'" Thank you for standing honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, I want to thank you for this time together today at your house. I want to thank you for these people, Lord, that have come this way today. So now, Lord, we need you. Lord, our church needs you. Our people need you. God, this preacher needs you. I'm a needy preacher this morning. I pray you touch me and let me be a blessing to your people today. I pray if it be one here that knows you not as their Savior, I pray today would be the day you'd knock on their heart's door. May they accept you as their Savior before it's eternally too late. Would you do eternal works in this place this morning? And I'll be grateful to you. Help me now in thy word. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask. Amen. And amen. I'm interested in verse number 2 as a title verse today, where the Bible said, "And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." And I'd like to preach just a few minutes this morning on the day when the sun came up. The day when the sun came up. Now, we know a lot about Easter because of the marketing ventures that seems like our world tries to take advantage of this great and special day. But I'm going to tell you in the Word of God, we have some things in this chapter that we are reminded that took place when the sun came up. I want to say, first of all, they found a grave that was empty. The Bible said in verse number 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. You see, when the sun came up, they found there was a grave that was empty. And there we see a description. There some ladies had come to see about Jesus and had brought some sweet things. I love the description of people coming where Jesus is, bringing sweet spices. Boy, we need to leave our bitter spirits and our sorry attitudes outside yonder in the yard. And when we come where Jesus is, we ought to come with that description, bringing something sweet and wonderful to Him. Because can I tell you, there's nobody good as Jesus is. Thank God we've got a Jesus that we can come and bring some sweet things today. I want to say we ought to sing some sweet songs about Jesus. We ought to have some sweet amens about Jesus. You can go down the ball field and shout. Surely you can come to the house of God and have a little grunt every now and then. Amen. Boy, I'm glad that they brought some sweet things to where Jesus was. We see this description. Secondly, we see a dispensation. The Bible said that they were there when the Sabbath was passed. Honey, I'm glad this day the law. The law was not done away with. The law was satisfied. And there the law showed us how bad and how wicked we really are. But no longer do you find them meeting on the Sabbath day. Now you find them on the first day of the week. It ought to be an important day in your life, because this new dispensation on the first day of the week, it is the Lord's day. Amen. It ain't no time to be a fishing. Amen. It ain't no time to be a golfing. And you can do that between service. But it ought to be the day that we come and honor and magnify our Lord. You say, well, preacher, I don't like church because it's so boring. Well, if you'd get in on church, it wouldn't be boring. Honey, I'm glad there's more than 3 points and a rhyme at Liberty Baptist Church. I'm glad in this dispensation, on the first day of the week, God's people gathers around in spirit and in truth and in harmony. Amen. And there to sing the songs of Zion and hear a King James Bible preached once again in this lost and dying world. Oh my, they found a grave that was empty. We see a description and we see a dispensation. Aren't you glad that we're not under the law anymore? I'm glad when the Sabbath was passed, in verse 2, very early in the morning, the first day of the week. And then in verse number 3, there's a disposition. They said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? That's just like the devil would give us a worried disposition. You know, 95% of the things I worry about never come to pass. And here Mary was wondering, when I get there, how in the world are we going to get this stone out of the way? The Bible says, worry for nothing. He said, just brag on the Lord. He said, as you see these little sparrows, you just trust the God that's feeding them, that will feed you and feed me and clothe you and clothe me. Boy, this disposition, she was sad and worrying about who shall roll away the stone from the door. Don't spend your life worrying. Life is too short. Boy, how we love to worry. The Bible said that we should gird up the loins of our mind, casting down all imaginations. Why, there's nobody here mad at you. Amen. Now, there's some ugly people here, but I'm not going to let them be ugly to you in here. Somebody say amen. Hey, tell the devil to go back where he lives and get him off of your bench this morning. Jesus lives and Jesus is true, and the Word of God is still right in the day and hour we live. Thank God for the right disposition. Worrying has never took me no place but to a bad and lonely place. Therefore, we see a description. They come. They is coming to church with a sweet, sweet description. I want to ask you, why'd you bring sweet this morning? You know something? If we'd let our heads leak, they wouldn't swell near as bad, neighbor. Man, I'm going to tell you, I'm getting ready for a church service where some of that snot slinging going on. Somebody say amen right there. It'd help you to have to go to the dry cleaners after you go to church. Not crying about how bad church was, but about how good it was. Amen. Boy, we see this description and this dispensation. Now the Sabbath is gone, the law is passed, and Jesus has died on a cross. He's brought in a new dispensation on the first day of the week. And then we find this disposition. But in verse 4, we see a demonstration. The Bible said when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. You know what I've noticed? The things I worry about so much, Jesus has already got them all handled. When she got there, she is worrying the whole time, wringing her hands, worrying, how are we going to get rid of that stone? I wonder this morning what's got between you and Jesus. There was a stone between her and him, and she is worried about that. But just like our Lord, hey friend, them soldiers didn't roll that stone away. Is a supernatural act that rolled that stone away. And isn't it amazing the things we worry about and that we dread so much, and when we finally get there, the Lord has done taken care of the situation. Amen. I don't want to ponder long, but we ain't got service tonight. I want to say this. I sure was dreading this second operation because I know the rehab time. Amen. Boy, when I got there, it was so pleasant. Ain't that amazing? In the operating room, I seen them, and they just introduced everybody to me. Everybody was just so happy and nice, and the good God of glory was laying on that gurney there with me. Isn't that amazing, the things that we're dreading? And when we get there, we find out that our Lord has already handled that situation. There's nobody like our God. And hey, weary pilgrim, quit worrying about tomorrow. There's a God in heaven today that loves His children. Hallelujah. Woof, woof. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Oh, we see a grave that was empty. But number two, we see something else when the sun come up. We see a grace that is eternal. The Bible said in verse number 5, they got there and they entered in the sepulcher and saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they looked like some of y'all. They were frightened. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, here it is, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. I want to say, when the sun came up, not only in this passage do we find a grave that was empty, but Brother Tim, there's a grace that is eternal. You'll see in verse number 6, there the angel mentioned that he was crucified. Let me help you Catholics with your theology this morning. Jesus is not hanging on a cross. That cross is empty, friend, and the tomb is empty. Hey, Jesus is no longer on a cross. He was crucified. I'm glad the Bible's true. He was crucified. If you got one of them crosses with Jesus on at home, take it down. He ain't on a cross. He's on a throne. Hey, hey, he's not on a cross. He was crucified. He died one time. One time was enough. He'll never be crucified again. Our God took our sins on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm ready to walk a pew this morning.
cross is empty. But the throne's full. You see, not only was there a grave that was empty, but when the sun come up, they found out there was a grace that was eternal. Now, there was a cross. Then verse 7, there was compassion. Every time you find grace, there's compassion. Hey! Give me 15 minutes, I'll be done. Listen. Anytime you find grace, you find compassion. You know the first person Jesus appeared to? Mary Magdalene, who had cast out 7 devils. I'm glad God loves people full of the devil. Matter of fact, if He didn't, me and you'd be left out this morning. You can't hide it from me. We all have our pockets full of the devil at times. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't some goody-two-shoe, some religious Pharisee that wouldn't have nothing to do with sinners? I come to tell you this morning that Jesus loves sinners, and He died for you, and He died for me. And thank God, grace is eternal. He was crucified. The law went out of effect. Nothing wrong with the law. It's perfect. And it shows us how bad we are. I wish you could get that down you this morning. You can't live good enough to go to heaven. The Bible said that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. What the law could not do, grace did much more. If I was trying to get to heaven by the law, I'd never get to heaven. But grace is what Christ done for you on a cross and shed His blood for your sin and my sin. He became sin for us. Brother Joe preached it last Sunday night. But yet, isn't it amazing? He never knew sin, but He became sin for us. On that rugged cross, and God judged His sin for your account and my account. And thank God there is a grace that is eternal. Brother Ken, how long are you saved? Eternally. That ring never stops and it never starts. Somewhere on there, Brother Randall, God saved me on that band. If y'all wasn't Baptist, I'd scare y'all to death this morning. That never starts and it never stops. The day God walked in my life with grace, my life started and His grace is eternal. What if you sin? Oh, I've got Jesus as my advocate. He said if we had just confessed our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When the sun came up, there was a grave that was empty. Matter of fact, I studied Brother Adam over there in John's Gospel 20. You remember when Mary got there and thought somebody stole him, run back and told him a false report? Reminds me of some preachers don't study enough. She run back to the camp and said, "Somebody stole him." They said, "Oh, no, friend, it goes deeper than that." Said, "We're going to see for ourselves." And Peter and John run down to the tomb and walked in. There was all them grave clothes. Somebody said, "Well, it was rigged." Well, let me ask the funeral home man that's here this morning something. When they embalmed them, it was like tar and pitch that wrapped them in grave clothes. Do you think if somebody would have tried to stole the body of Jesus, they could have pulled them pieces of rags off and put them in a place real neatly? When they come there and found them grave clothes, it looked like a mummy that was embalmed, but nobody was in it. I don't think no thief did that. Matter of fact, there was a napkin folded up and put in the corner. And it meant, "Honey, I'm gone, but I will be back one morning." Amen. And I'm going to tell you, no thief stole the body of our Lord. Jesus had told these boys, He said, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall also the Son of Man be. He must have not died on Friday. Read your Bible. 3 days, three nights. It's 3 days and three nights. Some of y'all stay up these squalling younguns. 3 days, three nights. You'll understand. 3 days, three nights. But there was a grace that was eternal. Hey, boys, listen to your preacher. When Jesus got out of that grave, the law could do nothing now. He satisfied God by getting on a cross and taking your sin and my sin on His Son, and He died for us. And the Bible said that it pleased God. That's amazing that God chose His Son to die in your place and my place. Thirdly, I want to say this morning when the sun came up, not only was there a grave that was empty and a grace that was eternal, but there was a gospel that was effective. Look what He said in Mark 16:15. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to tell you, if Jesus had not got out of the grave, the gospel would be non-effective this morning. If our Lord did not get out of the grave, then we're all still in our sin. Paul had something to say about it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 12. It's something when a man's getting help on his own preaching on Sunday morning. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. Watch your Bible. I hope you ain't got your ham in the oven on a timer at 12 this morning. I'm going to preach so long when you get home, your ham's going to look like a hickory nut. Now watch your Bible. Talking about a gospel that's effectual. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:12, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yeah, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Watch. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Oh, Lord, this thing's getting so big in this suit up here. I just don't know if I can finish this sermon. The Lord's rich this morning. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, I want to say about this gospel that has become effectual. The gospel is simply this. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Now, Paul's writing, and he said, Christ had to get up out of the grave. It was no accident. He had to get up to make our gospel effective. Now watch. First of all, if Christ had not risen in verse 17, we would have unfounded faith. The Bible said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Verse 15, if He hadn't have got up, we'd have an untrue witness. Yeah, and we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Then verse 17, oh my, we'd have unforgiven sins and nobody'd go to heaven. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Am I getting the point across why Easter is so good? Verse 18, if he had not raised, it'd be no unsaved souls. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. 19, if Christ hadn't got out of the grave, it'd be some very unhappy people. Because look here, friend. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I want to say something right there, and then I'm going to close after my next thought. Don't worry, I ain't going to let your ham burn up. Yesterday, we had the funeral of Brother Buey Ayers, one of the best bass singers, singing out of that red back hymnal I've ever experienced to hear, Brother Tim. It's Sandy Flat Baptist Church across this pine thicket about 5 miles. That's where I got saved. Renee was raised. Brother Mike Buey would be up in that corner. And he taught me what little about music that I know. I just listened to him in that bass when he started hitting them bass notes. What a blessing. Buey, I'd preach. When I was first called to preach over there, he couldn't even keep his glasses on when preachers is preaching, for wiping tears out of his eye. The Word of God just so blessed him so much. And yesterday, listen to me, listen. They raised the casket up them steps and pulled him down here on the middle aisle and laid him in front of their communion table. And men told about the life of Buey Ayers. I thought about when Buey, it was Renee's uncle, when he got to heaven, there was O.P., probably whistling. Y'all didn't know him, but he laid bricks and he whistled all his life. There was Renee's granddaddy and grandmama. Listen, y'all, she had one of them aprons with them pockets on the front. She had a little bowl on top of the stove. You'd go in there Sunday evening. She had that fat back where she fried in the morning, laying there so you could snack on in the evening. Somebody say amen right there. But I got to thinking, when he walked into heaven, what a reunion. He said, if Christ hadn't arose, then all your people still laying in the graveyard. Because he said, if you only have hope in this life, you're of all men most miserable. You know, can I confess something? There's been times when I've made a good paycheck. It made me happy a little while till I bought what I wanted and then that wore off. And when I run out of that money and I run out of all these things, I've always noticed that something lifted my head higher. I've got hope in Christ. When the drugs run out, when the friends run out, what you gonna have? I'm glad I've got a friend in glory. And I have assurance of eternal life. You see, I'm not in my sins no more because Jesus got up out of the grave. He gives eternal life. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. If Jesus had not got up, death would have defeated him. Could you imagine on the cross when he died, the devil snickered a little bit and said, yeah, now, Galilean preacher, them 11 boys you got left, what y'all gonna do now? But on the third day, the devil heard something and he sent something and our Lord got up and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And it takes me to my last point this morning. I'd never had this thought. Me and my wife was headed last night to preach. And I told Miss Renee, I said, turn over there in that Bible. I want you to find something for me. I want to say when the sun came up, there was a grave that was empty. There was grace that is eternal. There's a gospel that is now effective. But I'm going to tell you, when that sun come up that morning, there was a God that was embracing. He'd been gone some 32, 33 odd years. What a homecoming. I got to thinking, when Jesus walked into heaven, how God had to embrace Him. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, I wouldn't want to say nothing that I couldn't get the Word of God to back me up, because then I'd be a heretic. But I got the Word of God that helped me in last place to go. John 17. John 17. I want you to look what Jesus said. Miss Sherry, I want you to come this morning. John 17. I want to say in front of this auditorium, I appreciate a lady that's played for me for 20 years. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Here it is. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. When Jesus left, He is born of a virgin. Isn't that amazing? Don't you know that in the heart of God that day that Jesus left heaven, that He knew what He was headed here to do? To die. He wasn't born to live. He was born to die for you and me. And that third day when He got up, He went back and He sprinkled that mercy seat with blood's what I think, and purified that way for us. There God received His Son. Can you imagine? The glory that they had there together before the world ever began. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You say, well, preacher, how's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost separate, but yet they're one? Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. But see, God the Father's a person. God the Son's a person. And God the Holy Ghost is a person. Because you can grieve Him. You can lie to Him. You can quench Him. But could you imagine, Brother Joe, when the Lord ascended, and that reunion and fellowship that they enjoyed, could you imagine what the angels did that day? I bet they all bowed the knee and said, there's the darling Lamb of God, that we know nothing about it much, but we know that You left heaven. But now we understand You're back. And You're sitting on the right-hand side of God making intercession for me and you. Now, I said all that to say this. What a morning to be saved. What a day of all days to remember. Hon, could this old preacher ask you something? Do you want to be saved this morning? Then won't you come and trust Jesus to be your Savior. And He'd save you by the grace of God today. Sir, would you like to be saved this morning? Then if you'd come by faith, He would save you. You say, preacher, I don't understand that, but I know I need to be. Then trust Christ.
to be your Savior. Stand with